Well, good morning. Such a pleasure to be back in Sterling, Virginia. You know, I used to live in Reston, so kind of feel like I'm coming back to an old neighborhood. So this past June, I attended the UUA General Assembly in Spokane, Washington. This was my sixth year, and like every GA prior to it, I came home with a lot of food for thought. The theme for this year's General Assembly was the power of we. And the entire program revolved around the concept that dismantling oppressive systems in our society and establishing justice can only be achieved when we work together. However, when the Reverend Marta Valentin gave the sermon at the Sunday worship service, she asked a fundamental question: who is the we? She noted the assumption beneath the theme, the we meant all Unitarian Universalists. But then she went deeper to ponder the truth of this assumption by essentially asking, who is a Unitarian Universalist? Do we, UUs, really include people of color, black people, indigenous people, transgendered people, and people living with seen and unseen disabilities? Do UUs really include Christians and theists? And when we say we, are we including our youth and young adults? And I would add, when it comes to the work of dismantling racism and systems of oppression, does the we include our allies of other faith traditions, including Christianity? Now, if you Google Unitarian Universalism, the Wikipedia page will come up and say the following: Unitarian Universalism is a liberal religion characterized by a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Unitarian Universalists assert no creed, but instead are unified by their shared search for spiritual growth. As such, their congregations include many atheists, agnostics, and theists within their membership. The roots of Unitarian Universalism lie in liberal Christianity, specifically Unitarian and Universalism, which are two separate denominations, or were up until 1961. Unitarian Universalists state that from these traditions comes a deep regard for intellectual freedom and inclusive love. Congregations and members seek inspiration and derive insight from all major world religions. Now, this sounds pretty accurate to me, having been a Unitarian Universalist for the last 30 years. Indeed, the fourth principle, the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, attracted me to Unitarian Universalism back in my 20s. The ability to ask the big questions in a safe space is what I value most about my chosen faith tradition over the orthodox Christianity of my upbringing, which condemned me, actually, for thinking for myself. Yet, in the last 5 years of attending General Assembly, I have heard repeatedly from UUs with marginalized identities that they do not find congregations to be safe spaces to be themselves, much less explore or express their spirituality. Reverend Valentin said, "Many of us from the black, indigenous, and people of color communities experience a kind of Unitarian Universalism that is neither what we are told it is nor how we know it could be." And that's a big problem for Unitarian Universalism, at least for two reasons. First, the population of the United States is becoming less white. According to the Census Bureau, by 2044, more than half of all Americans are projected to belong to a minority group. And if UU congregations on the whole are not safe spaces for people of color, then they will not join our movement, and our movement will decline one congregation at a time. The second reason, and I think this is more critical, if UU congregations do not practice what we preach, we lose credibility as a faith tradition. Now, I'm sure you join me. We all hate hypocrisy. But I would like to note that members of the upcoming generations are especially sensitive to it. So this isn't a question of Unitarian Universalism thriving, but of it surviving. As a member, or actually as the chair of the membership committee for my congregation, I have witnessed the exodus of young and transgendered and people of color from my church because of something a lay member, rather than the minister, said or did. In one case, it was an insensitive remark by a transgendered couple during the coffee hour. In another, it was the treatment of a young couple when they were participating in a tree planting. Now, I want to say that these remarks by other congregation members did not come out of any conscious racial or transphobic animus. They were likely just off-the-cuff remarks made, and they were based upon mistaken cultural assumptions. But it isn't just these insensitive remarks that turn fellow congregants, away. I have noticed an anti-religious sentiment in UU congregations. It's almost as if Unitarian Universalism is considered an alternate to religion, not a religion itself. And I have had members resign because our church was not spiritual enough. One former member told our minister that they needed a church that centered more on Christ, talked more about Jesus. Another told me that they felt uncomfortable expressing their spiritual beliefs and needed a space where they could openly pray without feeling like they were being ridiculed. One member, a former Catholic like me, recounted an incident some years ago when a lay person donned a robe and posed as Jesus during the service, the worship service. It's not that she found his dressing up as Jesus as being offensive, but she did find his wry portrayal to be disrespectful of a deeply spiritual man, a Jew, I add, who courageously stood up to the ancient Roman Empire. Now, this member stayed at our church because this was her community. But it did make me wonder how many people new to the church, and even Unitarian Universalism, came that Sunday and saw that lay member dressed up as Jesus. And it makes me wonder if they ever came back, not only to our church, but to any UU church. Moreover, when I think about how important faith in Jesus has been to many African Americans, I can see how this seeming rejection or even ridicule of Jesus in UU churches may well feel like a rejection of African American culture, and by extension, African Americans themselves. And that may explain, in part, why the majority of members of many UU congregations are white, in spite of this sincere and conscious desire to create a diverse and multicultural faith. So if UUs consist primarily of white, older, affluent, and educated people, can we really say with a straight face that we are multicultural? I remember when I explained Unitarian Universalism to one of my professors, an African-American Christian pastor. She asked me, "Why do UUs want to be multicultural? Is it because you truly value diversity? Or is it because you want to feel better about being white?" Seared, I admit, it was hard to hear. But then she expressed her truth to me, that when she hears the term multicultural, she gets nervous. In her experience, organizations that call themselves multicultural turn out to be toxic havens of white supremacy, no matter how sincere the members of these organizations are about anti-racism. Well, I took her point. It is the same point that UUs of color transgendered UUs, black UUs, and other UUs with marginalized identities like Reverend Marta Valentin have been making for decades. In her sermon at GA, Reverend Valentin said, UU's inability to deal with open conflict has led to more conflict. UUs who refuse to understand how their lack of engaging the work causes microaggressions to spill out of them, like unexpected spit in the faces of people who look or talk or act like me. These UUs hang on to the supreme whiteness of being at all costs and have not been able to grasp that we are all swimming in poisoned, proverbial waters. Like Reverend Valentin's sermon and my professor's questions and comments, though hard to hear, I gained important insights into the current UU culture and identity. Now, I don't think either of these women are saying that UUs are racist, and I don't think they're saying that multiculturalism is bad. After all, to be clear, the United States has always been and will continue to be multicultural. No, I think they are both inviting us to examine our cultural assumptions. Our culture is that proverbial water that we swim in. It is the air that we breathe. And really, that's what I've been doing for the last 2 years in seminary, is diving deep into those waters of my culture that has formed me as a person. And I've come to believe that Unitarian Universalism, in its quest to be all-inclusive, has tried to be everything for everyone, and in the process has forgotten its core identity, at least to some extent and on some levels. Now, Reverend Valentin observed, "We've lost sight of the sacred stories that preserve the soul of what Unitarian Universalism set out to be before the world got its hands on it." I think that collective amnesia is what is preventing us as a movement from becoming the beloved multicultural community we so want to be. To go forward into the future, we must look back to our collective past and reclaim what has been forgotten. We must become, as Reverend Valentin put it, archaeologists of our collective hearts and respectfully sift through the blood-soaked rubble. That excavation begins with understanding that both Unitarian and Universalism began as a solidly Christian denominations. Both Unitarians and Universalists have been questioning the dominant Christian orthodoxy since well before the Protestant Reformation, and we were called heretics for it. In fact, Michael Servetus was burned at the stake by John Calvin's followers because he questioned the Trinity. UUs are the Protestants of the Protestants, as Unitarian minister Henry Whitney Bellows described. In this country, both Unitarians and Universalists have been outspoken advocates for social justice. UUs were involved in the abolitionist movement in the 19th century and the civil rights movement in the 20th century. But to be clear, their advocacy was based upon theology, upon their free-thinking interpretations of the Christian and Hebrew scriptures, because these Unitarians and Universalists understood themselves to be Christians. The difference is that they had an alternate view of Jesus' life and death. Yet something happened to Unitarian Universalism in the United States over the course of the last 200 years. Gradually, UUs have wandered away from the table of Christology and towards secular humanism, especially, interestingly, since 1968. But secular humanism has an orthodoxy of its own. one that seems to disparage and dismiss spirituality or theology. And humanists are just as prone to feelings of exceptionalism as theists. And that's problematic, if not hypocritical. How can we call ourselves a religion and refer to our congregations as churches if there is effectively a cultural aversion to God talk? Are we really being inclusive by excluding God or Jesus from our worship services and programs? I would argue not. Not when many people who come to our congregations came from Christianity and are still interested in exploring these questions. They just have issues with the institutions they're coming from. When visitors come to my congregation, I hear them express a desire for a spiritual home, a safe space to explore something greater than themselves while still being themselves. And as a lay leader of a UGU congregation, and now a seminarian, I sense there is a hunger for an alternative to the dominant Christian paradigm being offered today. Just as there was 200 years ago when Channing preached, there is much reason to believe that Christianity is at this moment dishonored by gross and cherished corruptions. When he says corruptions, I think of the prosperity gospel today, which proclaims that God and Jesus want us to be rich and that material wealth is a sign of God's favor. Now, there are many of our liberal Christian siblings who have tried to counter this message, citing Jesus' teachings against materialism. For instance, Matthew 19:24 states, "It is easier for a camel to pass through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Our liberal Christian siblings have been like voices crying out in the desert. And they have, along with us, been working for social justice and helping the marginalized. Imagine what a force for change we could be if we UUs joined them in addressing these social injustices. We have much common ground, even if we disagree on the person of Jesus and other theological points. So here's the paradox. To become multicultural and harness the power of we, UUs must self-differentiate theologically, like Channing did just over 200 years ago. That process of self-differentiation means committing to being a religion and embracing our Christian heritage. Now, to be clear, I am not suggesting that UUs today call themselves Christian and suddenly adopt a creed. But I am suggesting that UUs be open to regular dialogue, not debate. There's a difference. Dialogue is about deep listening and listening for understanding. So I'm suggesting that we have regular dialogue on the ideas of God, salvation, spirit, sin, faith, reconciliation, and what those ideas mean in our day. And this necessarily requires study of Christian scriptures as well as other sacred scriptures. And when we look at the Christian scriptures, to consider the social gospel of Jesus. We have much to lose by refusing to engage in theological discourse, particularly regarding the person of Jesus and his mission. By trying to avoid conflict over big theological questions, we UUs are not only conceding the argument over what is Christian, we are allowing others to define us. I'll give you a recent example. In 2004, the Red River UU Church was denied 501c3 tax status because the Texas Comptroller determined that the UU Church does not have a creed and therefore was not a religious institution. The decision was overturned after protest. But it demonstrates the danger that all UUs face in a time of growing Christian nationalism. If we are to survive, we need to have conversations on what it means to be a UU today in the 21st century. What is spirituality for UUs? And what are UU spiritual practices? Indeed, those conversations, if they are dialogue, listening for understanding, can be spiritual practices in and of themselves. I think if UUs dare to have those conversations, we will begin to attract and retain more members, including people of color. UU congregations will not only just survive then, they will thrive, and we will all harness the power of we.